evening, and welcome to another edition of the KXCV KRW Bearcat Coaches Show. Along with Matt Gorder, I'm John Coffey. And Matt, we've had a busy week or two. We've missed a couple weeks with the Coaches Show due to the Thanksgiving holiday and some Bearcat basketball action. But boy, what a week we've had. A lot of good things have happened in Northwest Missouri State athletic-wise.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know I'm probably about 5 pounds heavier since the last show because of the Thanksgiving holiday, but it was well worth it. And, yeah, it's been a great ride. You know, we always talk about how the crossover between football and basketball is great, and we're seeing that again this year with football back in the playoffs. But, you know, we've seen such a great schedule from the basketball teams in the non-conference before getting conference play started last night. They played some really good opponents, and there's been some really entertaining basketball because of that. We've seen some great crowds out at Bearcat Arena for some of these home games, and I think that's just added to what's usually a fun time of year already.
And when you talk Bearcat football, let's just talk about that just a little bit. First action of the Bearcats in the playoffs this year, a second-round game with Emporia State Saturday, and Northwest did what they do so often, jumped out to an early lead and never let their opponent get into the ballgame. A 17-0 lead to start that game as they took advantage of having the wind to their back in the first quarter and just really put together a heck of a performance against the Hornets.
You know, and that was important because the Hornets came in very confident, and they had a great feeling that they were going to be able to come in and win. And big thing when you've got a team that confident is to get on top of them early, because if they build that confidence in that first quarter, maybe get the first couple of scores like they did in that first game of the year, you know, that could have been a completely different story and a much tougher ball game on Saturday. But you look at Northwest coming out in the first quarter and scoring more points than Emporia did eventually in the entire ball game. They made a statement in that first quarter, and that's what allowed them to do that. And it was both offensively and defensively. They came out and hit for some good yardage, got some scores. Later in the game, they get a defensive score with the pick six, you know. So just a very important all-around game to let everybody know Northwest is ready to go again.
That was kind of ironic that a lot of people talked about how a lot of football has been played from that first game with Northwest and Emporia to the game last week. But when you look at the scores, almost identical to what we saw in that opening weekend.
Yeah, I don't know if I would have guessed that. You know, I really felt like Emporia had made some great strides offensively and maybe would have been able to put a few more points on the board, but I guess that just goes to show that means Northwest defense made some great strides defensively, which I think is the case. You know, you look along the defensive line, you've got Harold Brantley there that wasn't there that first time around. You know, that's a little bit of a difference that Emporia State had to deal with. And then, of course, you know, everybody's on the same page. We didn't have a ton of injuries and things like that that the defense was dealing with. So they just came out, played hard, and, you know, one other factor that wasn't there in that first game, the game was in Maryville. And even though it was a split crowd because of the Spoofound State Championship game being played that same day, students out of town, still a little over 5,000 people there, but the people that were there were loud, and they were into it, and they helped once again. And, you know, teams, again, over and over, no matter how many people are in the crowd at Bearcat Stadium, it seems like those people are affecting the opponent, and that 12th man has been very important.
Well, they'll get a chance to do it again this Saturday. Harding will come to town for the quarterfinal round matchup. Harding coming off a couple of very big wins in the playoffs, most notably Central Missouri 2 weeks ago, and then Sioux Falls this past week. They come in undefeated, and they present a little bit of an added challenge for the Bearcat defense.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. When you look at the triple option, it's tougher to defend than most other styles of offense that you're going to see year in and year out. But not only do they run the triple option that's tougher in and of itself, they run it very well. Obviously, they run a lot of it. They've been doing it all season, but they've got a really good offensive line, and that just makes that triple option a lot tougher. I'm sure we'll hear a little bit more about it from Colin Bevins a little bit later on, but it's assignment football. You know, you hear the coaching staff talk about doing your 1-11th, which is always important, but it's going to become even more important because if you miss by just a little bit on your assignment, that's when that triple option breaks something big. We're going to see a lot of 3-4 yard runs maybe out of that option, but it's just a patient offense. When we talk about getting on top early, that makes it another key for Northwest. You get on top early or even just get up by a couple of scores, then all of a sudden that triple option becomes a deterrent and not a positive factor for that team. But the key is to try to get on top and get on top early.
We'll have Kyle Zimmerman with us a little bit later as well, the Bearcat quarterback. And has anyone had a better week between games than what Kyle has had so far this week?
Oh, I would say not. You know, a lot of awards coming his way, both academically and for his performances on field. And, you know, what's neat about that is, you know, these guys aren't out for the individual awards. This is a team sport, but you talk about a guy who's been a team guy from day one. Could have played a lot more on-field football at other MIAA schools, but knew this is the place he wanted to be, gets his chance to start this year, is taking full advantage of that. Also named Academic All-American of the Year. That's just tremendous. That means he's doing the work both on the field and off the field. So to see him get a chance to get these accolades, even though I know he's more about the team than he is individually, these are things that he deserves and has gone out and earned.
We'll talk Bearcat basketball coming up next, and both teams on the road last night to Edmond, Oklahoma, to face Central Oklahoma. And really, I think even though the Northwest women came up with a loss last night, some good things came out of that game, and a lot of good things out of the men's game as well.
Yeah, they won the second half. The Northwest women did. Just got down by 25 there early in the third quarter, and really excited to see how they chipped away at it. You know, there was that point there in the early in the third quarter, you just felt like, man, it's going to be a long second half. And then a couple minutes later, you start to think, all right, I like how this is going. They hit some outside shots. They started to get some stops on defense, made some adjustments, kind of tweaked the game plan a little bit. It worked, and they were able to do what coach had told them at halftime and made a game of it. And that was exciting to see, because that would have been very easy to just give up on. You just think, this is a road game in the MIAA. You're only going to win a few of these, so let's not worry about this one. But they fought their way back, did it without their leading scorer in the ball game last night as well, so that was very encouraging. And then even if you look at the men's game, you know, felt like a little bit of a slow start there, but it was a little bit of a slow start, but I just think it was Central Oklahoma coming out completely focused, ready to go. How many times has Coach Mack said, you know, everybody's going to come out and give you guys their best shot? And I think last night was a prime example of that. And when you've got a team with some talent on it, like Central Oklahoma has, doing something like that, it makes it even more of a challenge. So that was a good win on the road last night.
Yeah, I think it's going to look even better as the season goes along, because that's a team that's going to win some ball games this year.
Yeah, they'll finish. I would suspect they're going to finish in the top half of the MIAA. And so, yeah, they're going to pick up several wins. And, again, to get that win down there. And, you know, it's interesting, because it wasn't a big crowd last night. The last time we were down there, it was a pretty energetic, loud crowd. Made it a lot tougher. But UCO, as a team, they brought their own energy. I mean, those guys were ready to go. They were playing hard throughout, and so that's the part that made it tougher for Northwest.
And we saw Justin Fitz and Kristen Dell put together two very good halves of basketball in that second half.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it was one of those things, and it's something I think we kind of see out of Justin. It's like he goes out there, and if the teammates are getting the job done, you'll see him dishing the ball. You know, he's still probably going to get around 20 points, but he doesn't take over a game. But if it gets to a point where he feels like that's necessary, he's gonna, and he did it. And when I say take over a game, that doesn't mean take every shot. He just seems to amp it up one more step, get a little bit more aggressive. You know, we saw some drives and dishes where some guys were getting some easy layups because he started to garner all that attention inside. And so you'll see him go inside more and dish that off more. I mean, yeah, he led the team in scoring, but he also led the team in assists too. Had more than half of the assists that the team had last night. So that really says something about what he did in terms of the game. And, you know, in Dow, it's fun. He's one of those guys that he ends up with a double-double, and you kind of have to see the stats to see it, because he just plays so smooth and he plays so relaxed. You know, a lot of guys that are having big games, you can tell because they're playing outside themselves. But he just plays within himself. He plays relaxed, gets the job done, does what he needs to do. Next thing you know, boom, he had a double-double last night.
And it seems like when you need a big rebound, he's there to get it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, he's one of those guys that's got some size and some strength that, you know, if he needs to get in there and force his way into a rebound, but I think it's the finesse side of it, reading the shot, getting into the right position to be able to get that rebound that's most important for him.
Again, we are broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grid on downtown Maryville. We've got a good show on hand for tonight, as we'll be talking basketball and football. Again, as we talked about, Kyle Zimmerman and Cullen Bevins from the football team will be joining us. We'll be talking basketball next, as Buck Shield and Ben McCullum are with us, the head coaches of the Northwest women's and men's basketball teams. A reminder, too, that support for the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show comes from the student body, Screen Printing and Embroidery, now located near the Northwest campus at the corner of 4th and Fillmore in Maryville. Student Body provides Bearcat fanware, custom screen printing, and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation. And support also comes from Carson Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square, open for lunch and dinner, and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. Again, we'll have more for you on the KXCV, KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show, where we'll talk basketball coming up right after this timeout from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from the Nottoway Valley Bank. With 8 locations, NVB has been serving generations of Northwest Missouri families for almost a century and a half. The right bank is right at your fingertips at nvb.com.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Oak Point Assisted Living and Memory Care in Maryville. Oak Point offers private apartments and other services for seniors. More at 660-562-2799 or at oakpointmaryville.com.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors in Maryville across from Walmart. Chad Peterson, Jesse, Maggie Wilson, and Chad Townsend offer a variety of pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs. More at championshipmotorsllc.com or at 582-8800.
Today's game on the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Northwest Audio Visual, providing residential, commercial, and auto customers with sales, design, service, and installation of home theater and car audio systems. More at 660-853-2319.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Shelter Insurance, providing coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24 hours claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More info is available from shelter agents Dave Weigel of Maryville, Craig Thompson of Albany, Jody Nelson of Savannah, and Larry Olinger of Mound City.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. Find more at 660-582-2699.
Welcome back to the KXCV, KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. Again, we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. Joined now by the head coach of the Bearcat men's basketball team, Ben McCollum. And Ben, we've got a lot to talk about since last time we've had a show here. You've had a lot of games and a lot of success so far.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not sure when the last time we were on was, I guess, what game it was before.
Before Augustana, I believe. Even
before Augustana, really? Oh, my. Yeah, we've had a lot of games. We've played that stretch of three teams, Augustana, Metro State, Lake Superior State, all of which I think will be 20-plus win teams, very well coached, very tough teams, all of which do completely different things from the other. Very difficult stretch, traveling out to Denver and then coming back at home on Wednesday, and then obviously Concordia and then back to Central Oklahoma. So we've had a pretty difficult stretch. I think the guys are excited about the much-needed break. And hopefully we'll be ready for next Tuesday.
I know when you look at that particular stretch of ball games, when you go back through the years, I think that's probably a tough stretch for non-conference games early in the season that I've seen a Bearcat team have. And it really, coming out of it with wins obviously is going to help, but just playing that type of team early in the season has got to help you an awful lot.
Absolutely. There was one other year that was probably fairly similar. I think it was my fourth or fifth year. We played Midwestern State, Drury. Might have played one other team that was pretty difficult, this is right up there with one of the most difficult. Obviously Augustana, defending national champions, Metro State playing out there in the altitude when they press for an entire game, and you're flying out there and you're tired. It's very difficult. The officiating's different than what you're used to. It wasn't bad. It was just different. And then obviously coming back. And you're playing on a Wednesday when all your students are gone against a team that can really fill it up offensively, and then defensively they really competed. So, yeah, our kids had a very tough stretch, but they came through on top and obviously very proud of their efforts.
I really thought the Metro game probably helped you out a little bit last night going against Central Oklahoma, a team like that, while it's different, still did a few things. I remember we saw a little bit in the Metro game where that, and going on the road and playing a Central Oklahoma team like that, and kind of a similar type of atmosphere was a big help for you.
Yeah, I think so. They had those guards that would press up on you pretty hard, and obviously at Metro that was constant the entire game. I mean, full court. The thing that they would allow us to do, they'd really allow us to penetrate. They were trying to eliminate our shooters. Once we figured that out, Justin really just got in the paint and caused a lot of problems for him and won us the game. Once we figured out defensively that you actually have to try, I think that helped a little bit too.
It doesn't hurt anyway.
No, it's a strange deal how that works. It's interesting. I think our guys are starting to figure out. I told a couple people this today. I think I think they're starting to figure out that the other team wants to win too. They've played well, and we're proud of them. And again, having those kind of games where you don't come out quite as well in the first half, but then the second half you're able to regroup and get your energy back up is very difficult to do. And our kids did that last night.
What are some of the keys to being able to do that?
I don't know. That's a good question, because I got done at the end of the first half, and I'm going at halftime talking to the other coaches. I said, I have no idea how to get these guys going. I'm just going to go in and use some choice words and try to get them back excited. That's what we did. And, you know, it wasn't like a win-win for the Gipper speech. It was just, hey, you guys have to compete a little bit harder, and you have to be ready. Other teams are coming for you. And they turned it around. I think it's more of an internal thing from the kids than it is from the coaching staff. I mean, we try to simulate it in practice where, you know, when we do our free throws, we take drinks, and then we go some 5-on-0 stuff where we teach for 10 minutes, and it kind of kills the energy. And then we see if they can get it back up after that little session. And I think that's helped a little bit. And honestly, there haven't been a lot of games that we haven't been ready for, you know. And so it's just going to happen every once in a while.
And it seemed like a big key, too, was Justin really got things going there in the second half.
Yeah, he was ready. I think that the difference, though, too, is the way he plays in his game, it doesn't require that extra juice that an Anthony Woods or a Chris Endow or a Brett Doherty or Devontae Moore, those guys, those Anthony, Chris, those guys, they need that extra energy, that extra juice, I call it, that they're just competing. Zach Schneider, he's going to compete at his pace just because, you know, he's a shooter. He's a different type of player. He's a skilled player. Justin's kind of that same way. So those guys don't have a difficult time getting up and getting ready. The other ones that can get those big energy bursts probably have the most difficult time.
Key in the second half, and it's something we've seen out of this team in the past, too, is when you fought back, got that lead, you didn't relinquish the lead the rest of the way. You seemed to be able to make some plays to keep a run down from your opponent, and that was the case last night with Central Oklahoma.
Yeah, I never felt like we were out of the game. I never felt like we weren't going to win the game. I thought it was just a matter of time before defensively we really started getting stops, buckling down. And when you do that and the other team gets frustrated, and then on offense wasn't really a problem outside of the turnovers, you kind of break their spirit, and then they don't want to guard you as hard. And so then the offense becomes even easier, and it becomes a battle of wills. And I knew eventually we'd win that battle, but I would have liked to see it a little bit sooner.
Let's go back and talk a little bit about the game that we played early, that so the last of the coaches show, that Augustana matchup. The thing I want to talk about there is just the atmosphere you had at the arena for that one. That was almost a playoff type of atmosphere in that game. The crowd packed house at Bearcat Arena, they reduced from the very start, and it just was as good a night of basketball as you'll ever have.
Yeah, it felt like March, you know, and that was fun. That was fun for our kids, and they worked pretty hard to earn environments like that. And I think what those students don't understand is, you know, when they come out and represent like that, that makes it fun for everybody involved, not just our kids. It just creates an environment that's fun to be at. It's a fun atmosphere. It brings Northwest students together and through athletics and just makes it exciting for everyone involved. And so we were happy with that crowd. We were happy to kind of give them payback for the crowds that they've had up there. And so I can remember the first game last year, and we get done with the game. We lost on that last second shot from 90 feet. It wasn't 90 feet, but it was felt like 90 feet. And we get done, and we're going through. And some of the adult fans, some of the town people, I guess, as I'm walking through, just screaming, "Your coach stinks, your coach stinks." Oh, my, that's pretty impressive there. So we had to get him some payback there.
And, of course, Augustana coming in as the defending national champion, but a team as well that lost some key players off of last year, and every year is a little bit different. But it's nice to be able to knock off a defending national champ like that.
Absolutely. You know, they still have that winning mentality. With them, they lost those three kids, and those three kids were pretty darn good. And honestly, for those two seasons, outside of those two seasons, they hadn't finished above third in their conference prior to that. And so those kids just really made their program go. And they still had some returners that know how to win, but not quite at that level.
And one other thing to touch on with the crowd at that game, and you talked about the students having fun and everybody coming together. You look in the crowd, you had different sports on campus, kind of setting the sections, cheering. You had different student organizations going. And, again, that's kind of what athletics is all about to a certain degree, bringing people together like that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's we try to support each other athletically. I know our kids go to as many games as they can possibly go to, inside of their schedule or outside of their schedule. And so it's nice to see other athletes because they understand what you go through. They understand what that means when you cheer at games rather than sit there. It makes it fun for our kids. And again, it helps us go back out and support them as well.
Third ranked, undefeated at this particular point in the season, 7-0. As you look at where the team is right now, how do you assess where you're at this point in the season right now as to where you want to be at the end of the year?
I feel pretty good. I feel like we're ahead of usual just because of all the returners that we had. I think the thing that becomes most difficult is when you are successful, you start to really look at results and try to achieve results rather than the process of, hey, we're just trying to get better every day. And I think that's probably going to be our biggest challenge here coming up is, what do we do tomorrow in practice? Do we embrace that process? Do we really want to improve? Do we really want to get better? Or are we just searching for the results? Because if you search for results, you're not going to get the ones that you want. And so hopefully our kids are mature enough to stick with that process and we'll get better throughout that season.
The way the MIAA schedule has evolved, it's really important, too, to be at midseason form a lot earlier than perhaps in the past where the conference season didn't get started until after the turn of the year, where right now you've had a conference game in November this year. And, of course, you've got a couple more conference games coming up before the break. So you really have to have the team ready to go a lot earlier now than perhaps teams had in the past.
Absolutely. And these regional games mean so much for your final ranking. I think last year if we don't lose against Upper Iowa, we might have hosted. If we don't lose against Augustana, we definitely would have hosted. And so those games early, if you have slip-ups, can really cost you in the regional rankings. I still think scheduling more difficult makes you better, though, and I think that's why we play our best basketball in March. But you've got to get ready, and your kids have to be mature about it, and they have to play at a high level early in the season.
Well, you get back really early this morning from that trip to Edmond, Oklahoma. The fortunate thing is you got a few days off now to prepare for Missouri Western next Tuesday.
Yeah, when we get back at 4? See, I don't know how you guys got back at 5:30.
Well, it's around 5. We stopped to eat afterwards.
I got you. Where'd you eat?
Freddy's.
Excellent choice. Burger, did you get a shake?
I got a custard there.
Excellent, good. That probably got you through the night. Yeah, we got back at 4, I think I got back up at about 7:15. So I'm running on fumes right now, but when you go home and your kids are home, you don't exactly have the option to take a rest. You get to go to bed when they go to bed. So that's what we'll do tonight, and we'll regroup and get ready for tomorrow's practice.
What about Missouri Western? Have you had a chance to look much at what they've got so far?
We saw them in St. Joe, and then I feel like I've seen them another time. Maybe we scouted a team that they played. I'm not positive. Oh, Lake Superior State, yeah. We saw them against Lake Superior State on film, and they're okay. I think that they're really struggling to score. I think they scored 41 points. They had 37 points with 7 minutes to go in the game and only scored 4 more in 7 minutes. And so I'm guessing they're struggling to score. They'll muddy the game up, so it'll be a tough game, and a rivalry game obviously is always difficult. So, again, if we come out like we did against Central Oklahoma in the first half, it's going to be a long night. If we come out like we did in the second half, I think we'll be okay.
One of the nice things about having Missouri Western next week is it seems like it's one of the rare times that first meeting between the two teams, whether it's at Northwest or down in St. Joseph, is always when the students are gone over break time. So it's kind of nice to get that one with the rivalry game where you've got students on campus for that.
Oh, yeah, that'll be good. And you know, we're coming off that Augustana game was our, well, outside of Lake Superior State, was our last home game. And so hopefully we'll get a good crowd. I think they'll be energized from football over the weekend and obviously hopefully football the next weekend, but we're not going to talk about that. We'll just talk about this weekend.
Yeah.
So hopefully they'll be energized and ready to go and you know, excited about the game.
All right, Ben, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thanks a lot, John.
That's the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State Bearcat men's basketball team, Ben McCollum. When we come back, we'll continue to talk basketball as Buck Schill is with us, the head coach of the Northwest women's team, and he'll talk about the season up to this point. That's coming up right after this timeout as our coach's show from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville continues after this break on KXEV KRNW.
Support for the Bearcats comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations is at usbank.com.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Heinlein Home Furnishings at 1411 South Main in Maryville, supplying living room, dining room, and bedroom furnishings for the home, as well as mattresses and flooring. More information is available at Heinlein Home Furnishings.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Walker Body Shop and Towing at 420 North Market Street in Maryville. Celebrating more than 50 years in business, Walker's provides complete collision repair and 24-hour towing for cars and trucks. More at 660-582-3104.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Younger Auction Company. Auctioneer Mark Younger and his team simulcast online live auctions in all states. Younger Auction Company specializes in real estate, farm equipment, collectibles, and antiques. More at YoungerAuction.com.
Support for KXEV KRNW comes from Maryville Glass and Lock. Greg Fisher and his team offer installation and service of overhead doors from Rainer and LiftMaster operators. More at 660-582-3131, in-store at 5th and Buchanan, or at MarylandVilleGlassAndLock.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. Find more at 660-582-2699.
And we're back at Carson's in downtown Maryville on the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCB KRNW. Turning our attention to Northwest Missouri State women's basketball as head coach Buck Schill joins us. And Coach, last night must have been the halftime speech of the century for you. The team came out and really won the second half, but just played different basketball. It seemed like more inspired ball and fought their way back when they were really deep in a hole. What was it about the second half last night that had the team playing so well?
Well, I thought the biggest thing for us in that second half was we finally made some adjustments that I was pushing on them pretty hard in those timeouts throughout the first half. And, you know, as we got in there at halftime, I was able to kind of calm them down and, you know, go over on the board of what we really need to be doing to, you know, start to get some production offensively. And I thought we came out right away. And, you know, at first it was a little shaky, but then all of a sudden it just clicked, and they really started to get some things going.
When you talk about trying to make in-game adjustments, how big of a factor is youth in learning that? What's kind of the process in getting a player to where they're comfortable to be able to feel confident in an in-game adjustment?
Well, and a lot of it is just, I guess, preparing for certain situations. And I told them after the game, you know, I take responsibility for us not at least refreshing ourselves of what they showed us. You know, how they were guarding certain things with their ball screen defense is something that we haven't seen this year, but we saw it last year. And I'm kind of kicking myself a little bit for not going over that, because they guarded us similar last year, but last year we handled it much better when they went to that. And so, you know, I told them I take responsibility for that, but then on the other hand, I told them that, you know, they're the ones that need to be responsible for carrying over those adjustments in the game coming out of timeouts. And, you know, it just with a young team, a lot of times you have to remind them and you have to refresh them more before it really gets burned into their brain a little bit.
Last night going into the game, we saw that there was a size advantage for Central Oklahoma. Sometimes that doesn't necessarily mean anything, but the size you saw last night was also talented.
Yeah.
But and I know that was one of the focuses going into the game for you defensively. You had to have felt good about the way your interior players played against the 6'5 player.
Yeah, I thought defensively we did exactly what we wanted to do other than keep them off the offensive boards. And I really reiterated it with them throughout the week as far as, you know, not being able to out-jump and outreach a couple of those girls that were really long and lengthy. And, you know, at times I thought that's what was really hurting us there in that first half, just because they were getting those second and third chance opportunities and we were either putting them at the free throw line or giving them easier open looks. And, you know, that was probably the biggest area I was disappointed with. But as far as just straight up handling their girls inside, you know, I don't really feel like that we got dominated by any means.
Early on in the season, you guys have been shooting the ball very well. Last night kind of took into the second half, before, especially outside, some of those shots went down. But it seemed like once the first couple went, then, boom, that confidence came right back. That doesn't seem like something that would happen with a younger team, but this seems like a team that's able to put some faulty shooting behind them and move forward.
Yeah, it's and I talked with them about that before the game, that, you know, obviously with Tanya Meyer not suiting up last night, we've got to find a way to make up those points in that production. And so I urged them to just be a little bit more, you know, aggressive with looking for their shots and things like that. And I don't know if that scared them a little bit in that first half, but then that second half they started just to kind of let things happen and look for those outside shots within the flow of the offense. And, you know, obviously they started to fall, and we just kind of rolled from there.
We've seen years where you've had the team's had like a leading scorer that's well above everybody else, almost kind of one of those players where the team gets caught watching that player. How important is it to have the scoring spread so when you are without your leading scorer, like you were with Tanya out, that everybody can do just a little bit more instead of everybody having to do a lot more when that situation comes
about? Yeah, that's pretty tough to try to do with a young team. You know, you look at the group that we got there on the floor, other than Tanya, Macy, and Jasmine, you know, everybody else was playing limited minutes last year, you know, coming off the bench, maybe starting at random times due to some injuries. And so, you know, for them just to have that inner confidence to be able to fall back on from previous experience and previous games, it's going to take time. And I think the more success that they see, you know, when they're out there on the floor and they've got those shooting and scoring opportunities, I think it will just hopefully and naturally just increase and pick up. And I told them after the game, you know, we have to build off last night's second half. Don't worry about the first half. That's over. But that second half is what we need to carry us as we go into practice here this week.
When you look at younger players in the women's game, what's the most important thing they need to learn first? Does it vary by position, or is there kind of some general things that you can look at to where you know they're going to have success if they get their feet under them in this certain part of the game?
I think with them, it's just them understanding their role within the offense, on the offensive side, and what they need to be really good at, and that they don't need to be really good at eight different things. Be really good at one thing to start off with, and then your game is just hopefully going to grow and your confidence is going to grow from there. And that's where with young kids, where they, you know, they're used to with maybe a high school team, they were responsible for getting the ball up the floor, getting them into the offense, and sometimes maybe they got to go inside and play in the post. And so they've got several different jobs where once they get to our level, they need to be really good at their one job and then start to expand their skills as they grow as a player.
How important is this weekend? And the reason I ask that is you look at Tuesday against Missouri Western, and, you know, we've got Central Missouri coming up. You're right in the meat of the MIAA schedule. You've got a few days here without a Saturday game. once you get into that routine of a couple of games a week, you can't really work on things much outside of preparation for the next game. So how important does that make these next few days, this weekend, to what's going to happen the rest of the season?
These tomorrow and Saturday are probably our two most important practices going into next week's game. Just because, like you said, we're going to be able to work on us. There's some things that we need to clean up offensively, and there's several things defensively that we really need to focus in on, especially with teams like Missouri Western and Central, that they're two totally different teams, but they do some things that are pretty similar. They've got some kids that are really good at putting the ball on the floor, and they've got some kids that are really good shooters. And so, you know, one of our biggest struggles right now is just handling, high dribble penetration type teams. And so we've got to tweak and fix a few things with how we're on the ball. And then really the biggest thing is just, you know, making them understand that it starts out with carrying out that game plan, and if there's adjustments that need to be made, you make them. And there's some things I think that I want to do, or that we're going to do here in practice, to hopefully kind of get those minds turning a little bit more. That way, when it comes to game time, and if you have to totally switch something, then it's natural and they're not panicking.
You've touched on Missouri Western and their guard play, and it just seems like the quickness of that guard play, not necessarily an overly structured offense. They let them make decisions on the floor. How much tougher is it to guard against an offense that may not be as set as some of the other teams you go against?
It's difficult because you can't necessarily predetermine what they're going to do. You can to some extent with what they do. They're a dribble-drive-oriented team where they really want to, you know, get the ball going to the middle of the floor, get into the paint, and they want to try to pull your post player over and either drop it off or be kicking it out for shooters. And so they really just kind of try to wear you down and then wait for you to make that one mistake and get out of position and try to capitalize on that. And so, you know, for us, it's just going to be getting a lot of reps against our scout team and just getting comfortable with what they're running as we get to Tuesday.
And that's another thing when you talk about working against the scout team. I know this is always a concern for coaches, but how hard is it to replicate a team that has some of the better players?
For us, it's pretty good. I have a great group of male students who are our scout team, six or seven guys that come in every day. And, you know, as we're leading into games, my assistants have them already knowing and running the other team's stuff, and so I don't have to try to teach our girls to run it so we can go against it. They come in and we can really break things down and start to get a feel for what we've got to take away and what we're going to be up against. And so I try to emulate a lot in practice of not just what they're doing, but maybe having our scout team do it better. That way you can get comfortable going against that, and then when you get into a game, it's natural.
Well, Coach, thanks for stopping by. Here's to a good weekend of practices, getting ready to get back into the MIAA schedule.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
That is Buck Scheel, head coach of the Northwest Missouri State women's basketball team. Again, their next game action also on Tuesday against Missouri Western at home at Bearcat Arena. When we come back, we'll turn our attention to football. We'll start on the defensive side of the ball when we talk with Colin Bevins. We'll do it right after this timeout. We're at Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Shelter Insurance, providing coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24 hours claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More info is available from Shelter agents Dave Weigel of Maryville, Craig Thompson of Albany, Jody Nelson of Savannah, and Larry Olinger of Mound City.
Support for today's game comes from Tri-State Ford Lincoln on South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers the region a selection of new Ford and Lincoln automobiles as well as pre-owned vehicles. More at gotristate.com or at 660-582-3677.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery, located on 4th Street in Maryville. The Student Body provides Bearcat fanware as well as custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway Valley Bank, with online banking, including remote deposit using your mobile device. Right Bank is right at your fingertips, or at nvb.com, or at any of their 8 locations.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is provided by the monks of Conception Abbey, praising God and serving the Northwest community since 1873 through ministries such as the Abbey Guest Center, Conception Seminary College, and the Prairie House. More at conceptionabbey.org.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. Find more at 660-582-2699.
We're back at Carson's in downtown Maryville on the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV KRNW, turning our attention to football with a quarterfinal matchup coming up Saturday out at Bearcat Stadium against Harding. And one thing we've heard about Harding is the triple option. And joining us now is senior defensive lineman Colin Bevins. Colin, that triple option, we've heard a lot about it. We know it's hard to go against. We know it's a team that runs it very well. What's it look like on film as you guys prepare?
You know, it's intense. They like to run the ball, obviously, with a triple option. They average about 350 yards a game. So we know that's our biggest challenge coming into Saturday, and, you know, we're looking forward to it. Coach Wright's been preaching all week, do your 111th, because with a triple option, everybody's got an assigned job, and if you don't execute that one job, then they could bust a play for 30 yards and switch the field position on you like that. So, you know, we just got to come out and do our jobs on Saturday, and if we do that, I think we'll have a good time.
It seems like, you know, they tell you you've got one thing to worry about when you're playing the triple option. But I know as a defender, you look at one thing. If you see that, you move on to the next thing. You're following the ball, that sort of thing. Is it tough to just keep focused on that one thing, or does that just make it a little bit easier knowing I've only got this, I don't have to worry about following beyond this?
You know, at times it's tough, but, you know, we trust we all have trust in everybody on our defense. And we know that if we have our job, we trust the guy behind us to do to make the play on the quarterback, and if he does, and if he has that job, you know, the secondary guy rolls down and has the pitch guy, and you know that really a lot of that comes with trust, and you know we're a real trust unit on the defense, and as long as we all do our 111th, as I said before, you know, we'll be pretty successful.
You don't see triple option very often, mm-mm, but when you see a team that runs it well, what are they doing? What challenges do they present for you that makes them run so well, be able to pick up so many yards using basically that one style of play?
Right. You know, a lot of it comes with the dive. If they can establish the dive, then that's one part of the offense you got to worry about. And then off the dive, they can, if the quarterback reads you going to the dive, he'll keep it, fake pitch it out, and then he'll get 30 yards a pop. You know, there's really just so much that they do that, you know, we have to focus on and just take care of.
Let's go back to last week a little bit. I know coming into the game, Emporia State was very confident because they had made some big improvements, especially offensively. But you guys applied a lot of pressure, stopped the run like you've been doing to a greater extent, right, maybe than normal. Mm-hmm. But how much fun was it knowing that you were going against a team that had a lot of confidence, felt like they could do something against you, and then you're able to stop them cold?
You know, it was awesome. We coming into the game, we knew they were going to be a better team than week one, because obviously it was with a new quarterback and he coming into a new system. It was a challenge for him, but you know, once we established, I know, stopping the run, and us as defensive line got to pin our ears back and go rush the passer. It was fun. You know, we had a good time out there on Saturday, and I mean, I hope it kind of showed with our play.
You had a pick six on Saturday as a defensive lineman. Now, of course, a little earlier in the season, we saw one of you guys, mm-hmm, Harold Brantley, end up, yep, with a touchdown after a pickoff. But talk about when you guys see that. You're obviously heading for the quarterback, and then all of a sudden you realize, okay, we've got the ball. Talk about that transition from being a defensive player to now kind of being an offensive player trying to get your guy into the end zone.
You know, it's fun to have that role reversal. You know, you turn around and, I mean, you – try to find the first person in the opposite color jersey and hit them as hard as you can and put them on the ground, because every play they're kind of do that to you. So, you know, it's kind of fun to have the nice role reversal and go do it to them for once. And, you know, to see us finally get one in the end zone, it was a rush. It's always a rush.
You know, when you talk about college, there's always big decisions and things that you want to do. You started your career up at Iowa State, then made the decision to come here to Northwest, and now you're in a position as a senior. You've had national championship experience, obviously conference championship experience, now with your name in the record books alongside some pretty impressive names on the defense. This has to now, as you look back, be one of those no-brainer decisions to make the transition to Northwest.
Right. You know, it's pretty easy. Once I left Iowa State, I really didn't have a second option. You know, I had family on the team down here. I was recruited out of high school down here as a junior, and you know, I knew it was a good fit for me once I left Iowa State to come down here. And you know, once I came on my visited with Coach Wright, talked to Coach Doyle, just got around the guys a little bit. You know, it was a good fit, and I really enjoyed my visit. And you know, once I left, it really was a no-brainer to come down here.
What's it like to play on a unit where, you know, at the end of the day, we never see huge numbers out of any one guy usually? What's it like playing on a unit where everybody's sharing the wealth and you guys are just getting the job done as a team?
You know, it's awesome because, you know, we're not really relying on one guy to make a play. And, you know, a lot of defenses rely on that one guy, whether it's the mic or whether it's a defensive end or whoever. You know, if that person doesn't make the play, then, you know, who knows who's going to make it. But around here we have a lot of success, and whether it's our inside guys on the D-line making a play or us as the D-ends or Jake at linebacker, you know, we're just real, like, I don't know, we have a good time with it, and, I mean, it's pretty easy knowing that you're not relied on every single play to make a play.
I know it's a team game, but what's it like for you when, you know, you talk sack records, tackle for loss records, things like that, and your name's mentioned the same as Dave Tollefson, who's got a couple of Super Bowl rings, Matt Longacre currently playing for the Los Angeles Rams. What's that like for you personally to get to that point, to get that opportunity to be in the same discussion with those guys?
You know, it's pretty big. When I came in as a freshman, I never knew what it would take to get to that level. But now that I'm at that level, I know the work that those guys have put in, and it just made me have that much more respect for those guys. And, you know, to be mentioned in the same sentence as Dave Tollefson and Matt Longacre, and to see what those guys are doing now, you know, it's real special to me, and I really take that to heart, and it's kind of humbling in a way.
Another part of the team game that I want you to hit on, I want to hear from a defensive player about this, that 12th man, the fans. I mean, last week we talked about it wasn't as big of a crowd with the Spoofhounds playing down south, but it seems like no matter how many numbers, they're a loud crowd. How important is that to you guys on the defense?
That's big time. You know, we'd have that loud crowd on third down. If it's a tight game and it's third down and it's third and six and you don't know if you're going to get run or pass, and you hear that, you have the crowd behind you, and, you know, whether it messes up their snap count, you could possibly have a false start. You know, we've had a lot of issues with that, teams false starting with the loud crowd and not hearing the snap count. But other than that, I mean, it's great to have that 12th man, as they say, and just have the crowd behind you.
Well, thanks for stopping by. Get to that dive this weekend.
Oh, yeah, we'll try our best.
That is senior defensive lineman Colin Bevins. Again, they'll match up in the quarterfinals of the D2 playoffs against Harding on Saturday afternoon. We'll be back and talk more football going on the offensive side of the ball when we come back. We'll do it right after this timeout. You're listening to the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV KRNW.
Support for today's game comes from SSM Health Medical Group and St. Francis Hospital in Maryville. SSM offers 10 locations and 46 primary care and specialty providers throughout the Bearcat Nation. More at SSMHealthSt.Francis.com.
Today's game is underwritten by the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Bomley Auto Sales. Bearcat alumnus Joe Bomley has been providing late model program vehicles and pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs to the area since 1983. More at BomleyAuto.com or on the lot at 5 Mile Corner south of Maryville.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Rapid Elite in downtown Maryville, providing printing, copying, and other services such as folding, stapling, binding, and laminating, as well as supplying ink and toner. Rapid Elite also provides UPS and FedEx shipping services. More information at 562-4657.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Younger Auction Company. Auctioneer Mark Younger and his team simulcast online live auctions in all states. Younger Auction Company specializes in real estate, farm equipment, collectibles, and antiques. More at YoungerAuction.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. Find more at 660-582-2699.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. Again, we're broadcasting live from Carson's Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. And joining us now is the senior quarterback for the Bearcats, Kyle Zimmerman. And Kyle, talking with you a little bit before we went on here, you've had pretty darn good week, not only just preparing for a big matchup on Saturday, but a couple of nice honors here. First of all, came out yesterday being named the Coastside Academic All-American of Division II football, and that's quite an honor to be able to receive that.
For sure. It's definitely exciting. You know, some of the guys that I was just talking to Coach T about it, some of those guys that have won it before, just phenomenal guys. And it's just extremely it's a huge honor to be able to get that award. And, you know, I couldn't have done it without great support from a lot of the teachers here at Northwest. They've helped me along the way with my academics. The coaches have done a great job, you know, just preaching academics to us and make sure that we stay on top of that stuff. And it's just something that I really strive to put forth a lot of effort with over the years. And, you know, I just couldn't be more happy for the award and stuff.
You're not the only one from Blue Valley, though, being honored this time around. The guy that took your place as quarterback at high school is now at Baker, I understand, also being honored this week as well.
Sure, yeah, definitely was exciting. I remember, you know, he was a sophomore when I was a senior there, and we would always stay after practice and throw and stuff, and, you know, I could just see the hard work that he was always putting in, and, you know, I knew the success he was going to have when he got his shot, and you know, he's having a phenomenal year, and I couldn't be more proud and happy for that kid.
Being Logan Brettel at Baker, and is one thing too, as we might kind of move from academics to what's taking place on the field, not only being honored academically, but with Harlan Hill being a finalist for the Harlan Hill Award. What's that mean to you?
Yeah, it's definitely special. I mean, it's not just me with that. I couldn't have done that without the phenomenal play of our offensive line this year. Those guys. Credit to those guys because they do all the dirty work and they don't get any of the credit for it. So, you know, I really wish there was a award for the offensive line because I think those guys deserve every piece of that. And, you know, it's just a testament to the receivers, the running backs. It's not just me. The whole offense is just really clicking. And everyone has their part in it. And I couldn't be thankful to work with such a group of guys that is so dedicated and just you know, willing to come in and compete every day like we have this year, and I'm just thankful to be part of it.
Let's talk about that offensive line again going into this week. You've very rarely been sacked all season long going into the playoffs as the top team in the MIAA as far as protecting the quarterback. What's that mean to you to be able to know that when you drop back to pass, you're going to have a little bit of time to find one of the fine receivers in Northwest?
Oh, it's huge. They do a great job all week, you know, scheming what the defense does. They spend so much time during the week switching games. A lot of defensive lines try to run games on us and stuff, the blitzes and stuff. Our coaches do a great job of explaining the protection so they know where their guys are coming from, where they need to be. It just makes you feel extremely comfortable back there knowing that, you know, those guys are going to pick it up. There's not a lot of times that those guys are going to miss and have a free guy coming through one of the gaps, and you have to worry about that. It allows me to keep my eyes downfield. And like you mentioned, those receivers, they're extremely talented. If you can get the ball in those guys' hands, they're going to make plays. And it just allows me to, you know, look for them downfield because the offensive line does such a phenomenal job.
Now, you had to wait your time to become the starting quarterback at Northwest Missouri State. I know the coaching staff just talks about the fact that you had some opportunities maybe to move elsewhere, but you wanted to stay here and be a Bearcat throughout your career. Just go into the decision when it looked like you were going to be behind a couple guys early at Northwest that you wanted to stay and be a Bearcat here.
Yeah, I knew. When I first came here, you know, I just felt what it meant to be a Bearcat, and I just felt that it was something special that I never saw myself being able to leave a place like this. The people in the community, the relationships I had with my teammates and the coaches was just something that it was just phenomenal, and I never saw myself being able to get that anywhere else. And I knew if I just, you know, stayed patient, my time would come. And I'm just so thankful for that my parents and so many people in this program really pushed me to stick with it and stuff. Because, you know, it was definitely, it wasn't easy at times, but for sure it was the best decision I've ever made in my life. So.
How important, too, was it through your career up to this year becoming the starter? Where the coaching staff had some plays designed for you to come in, even though you weren't a starter, where you could still contribute in the last couple of years before getting that starting nod this year?
For sure. It was huge with confidence and stuff. You know, I'd come in, they have some plays designed for me, and it just really gets you acclimated to what the speed of college football is like, what the game day feeling of it is like being in a game and stuff. So, you know, I felt pretty confident. before the season, although I hadn't started any games or anything like that, I knew that I had some experience in terms of, you know, playing in some games and stuff before. And, you know, I just, the biggest thing this year was just trusting the guys around me. And, you know, I knew there were so many great guys around me. And like I talked about the offensive line, they just do a great job. And, you know, it just makes my job so easy back there.
Hey, another thing I would think would help, too, just the balanced attack you have. You got some pretty good running backs there that can carry the load a little bit, too.
For sure. Those running backs, the amount of work that they put in this offseason, not only with, you know, they're asked to do a lot in our offense, not only run the ball, but a lot of times they're in pass routes and stuff. And then the biggest thing is pass protection. They're a big part of that. And I think a lot of times that really goes unnoticed. The times that those guys really have to stand up and, you know, stick their nose in there against defensive linemen or some big linebackers in our league. And, you know, those guys aren't afraid to shy away from anyone in our league. And, you know, just hats off to those guys because I'm so thankful for what they've done and their just willingness to buy into our system and to protect me. And, yeah.
Let's go back and take a look at what you've got coming up Saturday. Harding coming into town, an undefeated team. From talking a couple of your offensive linemen earlier this week, they feel like the front four for Harding maybe as talented as any of you guys have seen all season, right?
Definitely.
Now.
They're extremely talented up front. We've watched a lot of film on them. They do so many great things. They get off the ball extremely quick. So they're going to have their hands full this week. But, you know, like we do every week, we have a good game plan in for it, we feel like. And, you know, if we just come out and execute, we feel like those guys can – we have a lot of different schemes and stuff that that should be good against what they're doing and stuff, and we feel very confident in it.
What are some of the main concerns you have about what you're seeing out of their defense right now?
Just up front, how physical, and they're really, really good up front. Their linebackers, they really fill the gaps well. They got a rover who's really talented as well. Just the athleticism they have, they get to the ball well. They pursue the ball really well. And it just seems like they're very, very well coached. They don't make a lot of mistakes and stuff. And, you know, that's just something that if you're not making a lot of mistakes this time of year, you're usually doing something well.
How much fun is it to play football at Northwest Missouri State during the playoffs?
Oh, it's the greatest time of the year. You know, everyone around the community is just, you can just feel the energy in the town and stuff. You know, it's just so exciting because everyone here knows what playoff football means, and they just get excited for you and the team. Anytime you go out into the public and stuff, people are always asking you about the games, if you're ready to go for the week and stuff like that. And it's just so cool to see not only your friends on campus and stuff supporting you, but people in the community.
I imagine Bearcat Stadium is going to be electric on Saturday for that matchup.
I'm sure, yeah. Coach has always said that. The ticket sales are really up there. We'll have a lot of our students back from the Thanksgiving break last week, so I'm anticipating a big crowd, and it should be exciting.
All right, Kyle, thanks a lot for being with us, and congratulations on your honors this week.
Thank you very much.
And that's the quarterback for the Northwest Missouri State Bearcats, Kyle Zimmerman. We'll be back and have more for you on the KXCV, KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show, right after this timeout from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for today's game comes from Tri-State Ford Lincoln on South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers the region a selection of new Ford and Lincoln automobiles as well as pre-owned vehicles. More at gotristate.com or at 660-582-3677.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Pizza Ranch at U.S. 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in-store or at pizzaranch.com.
Support for today's game comes from Compass Dental Group in Maryville. Doctors Bruce and Teal Twaddle and Dr. Brian Viertaler provide braces, implants, same-day crowns, and general dentistry. More at 660-582-2273 or at compassdentalgroup.com.
Bearcat radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors in Maryville across from Walmart. Championship offers late model pre-owned autos and conducts vehicle searches upon request. More at championshipmotorsllc.com or 582-8800.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway Valley Bank, with online banking, including remote deposit using your mobile device. Right Bank is right at your fingertips, or at nvb.com, or at any of their 8 locations.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. Find more at 660-582-2699.
Welcome back to the KXCV, KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. As we wrap things up, rejoined by Matt Gorder. And Matt, a big matchup coming up Saturday. We've talked about it, Northwest and Harding. And I think one of the things that makes this fun now, too, you get to the quarterfinals, you're playing a team that you don't play that often. They played Harding back in 2012, I believe, the only other meeting. So we get a chance to see some other teams besides the MIAA in this matchup on Saturday.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And, you know, that's what makes the playoffs so much fun, especially when you're in a situation where you're in an all-conference schedule. And during the regular season, you see the same teams you've seen year in and year out. So, yeah, it does make it a lot more fun, especially since they just played a conference team in the playoffs. And, you know, a big opportunity, you know, a chance with a win, not a guarantee, but a chance to even get more time at home, another game at Bearcat Stadium. If you go out and get the job done this coming Saturday, all those seniors get one final game at Bearcat Stadium, one additional final game. You know, of course, something happens this weekend, it's final game, but we'd rather see one more at Bearcat Stadium, and that's an opportunity they have if they can go out and play well this weekend.
And as great as that atmosphere was last Saturday, it ought to be even better this Saturday.
Yeah, hopefully, you know, fans, the quality of fans, no matter what the numbers, have been just tremendous. You know, it's so loud out there. You know, you keep hearing about the 12th man and how important the fans are, but I don't think we would fully realize that until one of those days where it was a quiet crowd, you know, and the other team has no problems, the other offense has no issues. But it's just so important to not only have a big crowd, but a crowd that's cheering and yelling and into the game at the right moments. And that's the kind of crowds we see out at Bearcat Stadium.
Hey, you don't see that on the road at very many places that we go to.
No, not at all. I mean, if you do get a big number of people, it's almost like they're just sitting there watching it on TV, you know. You hear some yelling and screaming, and from time to time, maybe for an exciting play. But the timely yelling is what you don't see anywhere except Bearcat Stadium.
Well, it'll be a fun one Saturday.
It should be, yes.
And we'll have the broadcast on KXCV, KRNW, beginning at 12 noon with our pregame and Bearcat game day. It'll be a 1 o'clock kickoff in Bearcat Stadium, Northwest and Harding. And then don't forget, we've got basketball coming up Tuesday from Bearcat Arena, Northwest and Missouri Western. Airtime for the doubleheader will be 5:10 with our pregame, 5:30 tip-off for the women, 7:30 for the men. So some good action coming up along the Bearcat Radio Network and KXCV KRNW in the next few days. And again, we'll be right back here next Thursday for another edition of the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. Well, thanks to Matt Gorder and also Ryan Hill helping out here behind the scenes with the Coaches Show tonight. I'm John Coffey, and so long from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Join us Tuesday morning at 9:06 for Spotlight on...